Hi.
You won.
Okay. Welcome back to Sundays at Sarah's. We're so excited to have you back for another episode. It's me, Marissa.
It's me, Sarah.
It's me, Miriam.
And guess what, guys? We have a mic today. We hope it adds something or
clarity.
Helps. Yeah.
It makes us feel better.
It makes us feel elevated.
Hopefully it's the same on your end. If not, we're just going to keep working and fidgeting and trying out new things. But for now, this is what we got, and we're feeling pretty happy right now.
Yeah.
How's everybody been?
I've been really good-ish. I don't know. I think we've been working a lot. I think all of us have been putting a lot of work hours into our jobs, and I feel good right now, but earlier today, I felt exhausted.
Yeah.
I had to take a nap before I came here.
Yeah, didn't you work, like, 7 days
in a row? I worked 7 days in a row, y'all.
Is today the seventh day? Was today the seventh
day? Yeah, today was the seventh day. Tomorrow, I have a day off, so nobody better bother me.
Yeah.
It's just going to be me day. That's what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. What about you guys? How are you doing?
I got a new job.
Yay.
Well, I mean, I still have two jobs, but I got a new second job. It's fun. I get to sit around, read, find out new things, look at really old stuff.
Are you an archivist for them? Or what is it? Because I thought you were doing something that had to do with photography.
Yeah, so right now I'm just getting training for them just to hold the front. So they're showing me how to do, like, procedures and how to,
like, all the
deal with the people
things.
And then after that I'll be helping them archive their photographs, which is what I really want to do. And even the guy who's in charge of that, he's like, I can't wait for you to start, because he knows I have some background in photography.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought I saw a spider. Oh yeah, that's something else that's been happening. I've been finding, like, spiders.
Maybe we'll post a pic so you guys can help us identify.
Yeah,
we don't know. We don't know. We've been trying to look for the last hour. We've been trying to find out what spider.
All we know is she's a Latina.
we just think it's not dangerous.
Yeah, well, she's not.
I mean, they look scary, but
they're real mad, but only because you keep catching them.
Well, I mean, they gotta stop coming out, but not even a full week. It's been since Monday. I've caught, like, five of these spiders. And, I mean,
that's, like, a spider a day.
Oh, yeah. Well, today I've caught two. Like, right before you guys got here.
Yeah.
And then,
they're cute.
I mean,
they're spiders.
I mean, they're cute when they're under glass. You guys get to see them.
Yeah.
But when they're off in the wilderness in my apartment, it's kind of scary. But, I mean, it's either they live here or I live here. So, I mean, it's got to be me.
And
how are you feeling?
I've been the same, working a lot. I feel, like, really overwhelmed right now, just because, like, we're all, like, working so many more hours, and there's so many things I'm trying to do right now at the same time. Like, I really need to get my schedule under control. Also, my body is, like, dying. Like, my systems are failing me.
Yes, ma'am.
My eyes are going.
Yes,
they're constantly itchy. I grind my teeth in my sleep. My digestive tract is not good. So, like, and I no longer have insurance for any of these things, so I'm trying to figure out what I can do with, like, $50, like, over the counter. You know, $20 mouth guard, $10 eye drops, those blue light glasses. Hopefully that'll help. And, I mean, there's nothing else I can really do at the moment. But besides that, I'm great. And I'm happy to be here with you guys today.
Same.
So it was my turn to bring the pre-topic topic. And finally, Miriam watched Midsommar. Sarah and I saw it, like, a week or maybe a couple weeks ago. For me, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, same.
I don't know how long ago you saw
it's
it.
It's been a while.
So, spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about Midsommar. Mostly the imagery in the film, but the imagery gives away so much of the plot. So if you haven't watched it yet, what's wrong with you? Skip ahead 10-15 minutes and then listen to the rest of the podcast, because we'll be talking about social media.
I already forgot. I was like, I don't know, what are we talking about today?
So for the first 10-15 minutes or so, we're going to be deep diving our thoughts about the movie overall, but also the artwork, where it came from, what the inspiration was, and then we'll head into social media.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what
did you guys think about the movie?
I mean, it was so long ago since I watched it, and I have a horrible memory, but I remember the imagery very vividly. So again, spoiler alert for those of you because I can just vividly remember the scene where it shows, like, the process of making a man fall in love with a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was looking at him, like, it's beautiful. It's so beautifully done, and I just don't even know what to say about it. And then how the walls were decorated, like, beautifully up to the ceilings, even the rugs on the floor, everything, even what they were wearing, like, the whole... how it was shot was beautiful, but also the artwork in it was beautiful, very floral, but also, like, it had a, like, contrasting, because it's very beautiful, and also very,
bright.
It's very bright, but it's, like, sinister in a way, because, like, to make a man fall in love with her, she had to put menstrual blood into a cup, she had to put pubic hair into his food, like, that's kind of weird, and then that's kind of manipulating this person, and then also there's imagery of, like, a bear being burnt alive,
or
something like that.
A lot of penises on the wall.
Oh, I didn't even see
that.
Yeah,
it's just it's a lot of nudity, and, like...
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I guess I'm jaded. Okay, but yeah, and it's... And I think it goes very well with the movie, because the movie is very bright, very beautiful, but there's, like, an underlying, not sinister, but just, like, something off.
Yeah.
And
I agree. Like, when they show the part of, like, that process of making a man falling in love, like, I thought it was very beautiful. Like,
yeah.
I was like, I know it was supposed to be scary. It was supposed to be a little bit, like,
like a warning.
Yeah.
And, like, very unsettling,
but
off-putting.
It just reminded me of, like, folktale art, like, you know, East.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, I guess it was, what was the, basis of Sweden, or?
Yeah, so, in the movie, the commune, or, like, the set is called Hagar, or Agar, I don't know, the pronunciations of, like, everything I'm gonna butcher, but that's the name of the commune, but it's based off, like, the set design, and, like, the concept design is all based off real, like, locations in Sweden, Hälsingland and Dalarna, but yeah, like, it's very true to style, like, that very classic art historical style that kind of originated in the 1500s over there.
Yeah, and it just, like, reminded me of, like, kind of, like, Hansel and Gretel, kind of,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
those,
yeah.
like, old stories, those old folk
or, like,
tales.
The Brothers Grimm type.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that's why I was, like, oh, this is, like, beautiful. And, like you said, like, the walls, when they first went into, I guess, that, like, sleeping area, I thought it was gonna be, like, a church, because of how, like, you see, like, so much imagery, I thought it was gonna be a church, like, maybe, like, how people do that in, like, Paris, or, like, whatever, in...
No, it's just where they sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was so beautiful.
Yeah. I really loved the movie.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was really great. I thought it, like, exceeded all my expectations, because I was kind of worried going into it. Just because I had seen... I was trying to stay away from, like, spoilers or, like, movie reviews or comments on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I had seen a couple people say, like, oh, like, they were trying to separate it from Hereditary, but they were still disappointed. But when I left the theater, I immediately loved it. It was really intense. It dealt with a lot of grief from the very beginning, really intense emotional scenes. And I love there's so many different types of relationships that they show throughout it. I know we're talking about art, and I'll get back to the art, but I want to talk about, like, there's
mm-hmm.
the relationship between the main character and her sister, the main character and her family, the main character and her boyfriend, her and the friends, the boyfriend and his friends. And then the community that they're invited to visit in Sweden for the Midsummer, but the movie's called Midsummer Festival that they have. And the way that the community is very involved with each other, the way they handle emotions as a unit, and how they respond to newcomers. Like, all of it was so interesting. There's so many dynamics in the film that I really enjoyed watching throughout. But yeah, like Miriam was saying, when they get to the commune, they're invited to stay in, like, this 2-3-story building. And just from the bottom to the ceiling, it's just decorated with all these really beautiful images. And there's another character, I think her name's the Sieve, or I don't know how you pronounce it, S-I-E-V or S-E-I-V. But that was, like, her character's name. She was kind of the one that explains to them, like, no, don't be concerned. This
oh, okay.
is
like
this
the,
is what we
oh,
do.
The head matron?
Yeah, kind of like the head matron. There's a scene where she invites the main character's boyfriend into a special mm-hmm. room to explain to him a kind of process, like a mating ritual that has already taken place, and a girl who's shown interest in him. And her room is so contrasted from the room they stay in, because it's decorated head to toe, but the room they stay in is very colorful and bright, just like the clothing that they wear and the flowers that decorate the commune and the environment. But when you go into her space, it's just like black and white. They almost look like tarot cards.
Oh, I thought it was blue.
Is it blue? I thought it, well, I don't know.
I'm not sure. But now that I think about it, yeah, it is a lot different from
it's
where
more
they
graphic.
Stay.
Yeah, like it's
uh-huh.
very like just
linear,
uh-huh. two like, you know, color blocked things. And whereas in the room that they're staying in, it's very, it feels very like Miriam said, folk art, very old and true to the traditional art that's found in that region. But all of it was beautiful. I loved it. Even their clothes. Like, I couldn't stop looking at their clothes.
Yeah,
like,
clothes was beautiful.
Everything is, they wear white, but everything's embroidered different colors. Mostly blue was, like, the big one that I saw. And,
yeah.
Like, the language, the symbols that they use, like, how that all plays a part into, like, the character's development throughout the film. And, like, what each character represents is also reflected in the clothing that they wear.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much, like, detail that went into the movie that I can appreciate so much. And Ari Aster got Henry Svensson and Ragnar Persons as the production and conceptual designers, respectively. And there was a lot of research that went into that film. So they were looking at murals that exist in parts of Sweden and interpreting them. So Ragnar, he's from North Sweden, and he's an artist, so he does like a lot of his own work, and that's how Svensson's found him. And Svensson was really drawn to Ragnar's work because it's a lot of, like, tied to animals and forests and that kind of imagery, but that has kind of, like, a dark turn, which is very true to the movie plot, where it's, like, it feels very folktale. It feels like the scenes that, because you don't have a chance to really see everything in detail, every single panel.
Just
they focus
nice
on some
things
of them, but you just get an overall sense that it's storytelling through the artwork, that it's, like, a history, or it shows you a dance
or
a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
It's like very like explaining. And there's an article on Bustle by Danielle Burgos. It's called The Meaning of Midsommar Murals According to the Artist Who Created Them. And I thought it was really interesting. I thought it was great that they took a look into that part of it and interviewed the, you know, the designers who worked on it, because that's such a major, like, that's so fundamental to the film and the storytelling of the film.
Yeah, and also, I think, because going into the movie, I knew we were going to talk about it, like, you guys didn't, but I was trying to pay attention to the art, and even, like, the artwork that she had
in her apartment.
Yeah, I was like, it's very off-putting,
yes,
but it kind of foretold what was going to happen, or, like, aspects that was going to happen. Like, you see the bear
in the painting going up to the bear,
mm-hmm. And then you see, I think it was, like, on her door, like, a kind of, like, a girl and a barn house, I believe. Like,
I didn't even catch
that.
One.
Like,
well,
I was like
paying
attention because we were going to talk about it. But like, I was trying to pay attention to all these like little things going on.
Damn, rubbing your eye really does feel good.
Yeah, y'all, I'm addicted to rubbing my eyes. If anybody can tell me how to stop, please do. What was I going to say? Oh, should we talk about the anti-nationalist thing, like, that's going on, like? Because I feel like it's not, well, I don't know, the article, yeah, the article kind of talked about how one of the things that the production and conceptual designers were thinking about with some of the art pieces, like, I guess, to fill the space, concepts that they're thinking about are, like, human behavior and things that are true among all sorts of cultures and societies on this earth. But I was, in the article they mentioned, and I was also watching a YouTube video breakdown where they mentioned that one of the points that Midsommar was trying to make was that it's an anti-nationalist film, and that it's kind of trying to draw attention to this issue in Sweden right now with this growing alt-right movement, and addressing the massive problem that Sweden has with xenophobia. And I mean, like, I think I have to rewatch some of those videos and reread the article to really understand what, I mean, what do you guys think about in terms of what the film did to relate to that?
See, that's where I kind of don't understand, because in the film, these people seem very welcoming, and they really wanted, like, they really treated these people with a lot of, not reverence, but, like, respect, and really were welcoming to them, so I guess it's lost on me where
I think maybe the film is supposed to, like, comment, like, the opposite, like,
oh, the
contrast, that they're showing, like, this,
okay.
Well, maybe, I don't know, because I, like I said, I only heard it in a couple videos and in the article, but I didn't read into it, so I don't know if they're saying that the movie's supposed to point out, like, because, like you said, the village is very welcoming to them, and
mm-hmm.
even accepts one of them kind of, like, as their own,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
and she, I mean, she's white, everyone in the commune
is
white, so I don't know if it's, like, that, like,
yeah,
they're only accepting, but, like, there were other people who died who were white, and
see, but she was also the one that looked the most like them,
and adopted their culture more
a lot easily.
Quickly,
yeah,
so I don't know what the comment, like, I don't know if they were trying to make a point, obviously, they're not for, and, you know, the alt-right movement,
uh-huh.
obviously, they're trying to point out that this is, like, a problem, but I just don't understand what way they're trying to do it by, like,
right.
emphasizing it or going against it, like, trying to call the viewer to question it
mm-hmm.
or to be like, okay, this is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We should look into that.
Yeah.
Y'all should look into that. I didn't know that that was a problem growing in Sweden, like, with the alt-right movements, and they were showing, like, protests that are happening now where they're marching, like, and having parades, essentially, for
so
their
scary.
Movement, and it's such a terrible thing, and you have to wonder, like, why these things are coming back again, because we were saying how in Germany, like, they're so strict, but is it, does the U.S. have some sort of influence, the way that Trump carries his policies, his speech, the way his followers respond to him, is it because people feel more confident saying things without
mm-hmm.
fear of repercussion, like,
yeah.
what is going on that is triggering all this now? Of course, these things never went away, and they've existed, and they always exist, and they've shown themselves in different forms. Yeah, but I feel like, and maybe, not that it ever...
Okay, so I have neighbors, and the walls aren't that great, apparently. Let's see if we can hear them.
We could take a pause if you guys want.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, well... excuse the neighbors. I think you were saying that very well earlier, too, when we were talking about it, how... Wait. It just left me. Dang it. Same thing.
About that
part,
right?
Yes.
Like, without fear of repercussion? And
yes,
like...
exactly. So, I don't think it's... You said it how it's not really that they're pro-Trump, but because it's been dormant, that kind of feeling has been dormant for a while, and then... the whole Trump thing is, like, digging it up, and then people are doing things and saying things and acting on them, and nothing's really being done. And not only is nothing being done, but it's making the people who they're doing it to a lot more vulnerable, and as if they're the ones at fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's that play. Maybe that's what's going on around the world. Because, I mean, also with the whole... people coming from the south of Mexico or from the south, and they're coming up, not only is the U.S. obviously mega against it, or not the U.S., but people that don't want them here in the U.S., they're super against it, but also I've heard Mexicans who say that they don't want them there either. How, I mean, it's heartbreaking, really, how I heard this one girl, she's, She's Mexican, she's here on a student visa, and she's saying, well, they should go back to where they came from. They're just gonna bring violence, they're just... So everything, her whole point, I'm like, in my head, yep, Trump said that, Trump said that, Trump said that. Like, and, maybe I'm gonna get in trouble for saying this, but, I mean, like, look at where you're at, look at what you're saying, just because you have it bad doesn't mean you need to punch down and everyone below you has to have it bad as well. And I'm a punch up kind of person, not a punch down kind of person. So if you see someone in pain or you see someone that needs help, help them. If that means, well, I mean, keep yourself safe as well. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just, like, babbling on. But, I mean,
But, I mean, I guess, like, the point of, like, the film was for us to comment on these things.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what they wanted, then, I mean, we are commenting on them right now. But, like you were saying, it is kind of hard to make the correlation. Like, I wouldn't have never thought of that if you didn't do the research and tell us.
Yeah, because that wasn't anything that...
That was overwhelming. But then again, you can say the same thing about art. You don't really know the artist has anything to do or what they're really saying until you read about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Hmm. Movies are art.
Watch the movie if you want.
Yeah.
Watch the movie even if you don't want. I love that. Just kidding. But I love that movie so much. I'm a huge fan of Ari Aster. I think he did amazing with this film and, like, it better come out by my birthday so that my boyfriend can buy it for me. Hint, hint. Because I really want it in my collection. I loved it so much. But yeah, now that we've talked about
Midsommar,
a little bit of the horrifying but beautiful visuals, and some of the horrifying things that are happening right now in our political climate, let's move into another terrifying topic, which is social media. Where should we begin?
I mean, we can begin with the pros of social media. Like, what do you guys think about...
And we're talking social media in terms of, like...
Using it as an art platform?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, well... Listed here, we have... You get to expose your art to people who might not have access to it in person. So, I see this a lot with, Well, I mean, obviously, because I follow people who do tattooing all across America, or people who... Or the Tate. Like, for example, the Tate.
Museums.
I love the Tate. I love the artists that participate in Tate. And I recently saw this one artist. I already forgot her name. Yeah.
That's us again with our first episode.
There we go. Actually, I didn't even look at her name. I just saw the story about it. But I would not know about her or her story if it wasn't for social media. And I guess that's a really good way, at least for me, to use the social media.
It's a tool
For my advantage, because I get to see people's work that I would not normally have seen.
That also reminded me, like, I saw a painter who I really like, and she posted that she was going to be somewhere close to our area. And so I went to actually, like, it was, like, 5 hours away, a five-hour drive, and I went to just go see her work. And it was, like, it was really beautiful to see in person, but I never would have known
if
I didn't see her posts on social media.
Wow.
And I never would have known who she was if I didn't find her also on Instagram. Is that what the kids use these days?
Something else we have listed here is you can grow your relationship with other artists that you might not have known otherwise and become mutual friends because of the art. I don't know. I don't think I've experienced this. Well, you know what? In a way, yes. Because, like, I think it was... Danya, I've seen her work a lot and I followed her, but I've never met her. And when I don't think this even pertains, because it would just be, like, only social media wise.
Well, I think we can talk about a little bit of, like, our personal experience down.
Yeah.
But just, like, list the pros and cons now.
Yeah, I would not know who she was if it wasn't for the social media. And even with you,
and it would have been, like,
like,
not just growing your relationship with people far away, but even people
within your own community
that you might not have otherwise, like,
mm-hmm.
known about or reached out to if you didn't have that first step of a sort of introduction or communication of their work beforehand.
Yeah. And to recognize their work when you're around and be able to bring it up and say, hey, I saw your stuff.
Mm-hmm, that's true. Like, for me, I think it's mostly, like, events, like, how we have, like, the last Thursdays, and they post, like, whose art is gonna be there, so then you go and you see the art in person, and, like, you could talk with the artist there. Also, I think there's been some people that I still haven't met in person yet, but I do follow them, but they are artists as well, that live here in the same area that we live.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, like, another way. Like, even though I've never, like, reached out and talked to them, we're still mutuals. and like, mm-hmm. we could still talk about art if we wanted to.
And I think adding on to that, one of the pros that we listed was that it makes it a little bit easier to see if there are any shows you can apply it to, not just stuff you can go see, but stuff you can actively involve yourself in and apply and try to pass your work around through that.
Yeah.
Some of the cons.
I think there are a lot of cons we could talk about.
You could be a victim of art theft.
Yeah.
Keeping up with posting regularly can be challenging, might cause anxiety, and you might worry a lot about quantity over quality. You could receive hate comments or disapproval. You could spend too much time comparing yourself to other artists, and you can become overwhelmed with it, spend too much time with it, get obsessed with it, and not know how to take a break from it. And these are definitely major cons in my life.
Yeah. I think we've all talked about it, like, together, how we maybe, like, felt, well, at least one of these things.
Yeah.
About social media. Like, I know I've gotten kind of like anxiety, like, oh, I haven't posted on my art Instagram in 3 weeks, like, I need to post something, like, but it's like, why am I so obsessed with posting? Like, am I obsessed with losing followers? Like, I'm not really sure, like, if that's really the issue. I think it's just something that society thinks you should put importance to, mm-hmm. or at least, like, now in our day. So I'm not really sure, like, what it is, but, like, I guess I don't want people to forget, but I don't think they'd forget. I'm not sure, like, because I guess you're just so used to seeing, like, the same people on your feed because they post often. So you're like, oh, I should be doing that, too, if I want to grow my following or if I want... I'm not sure. Like, I guess it's, like, because we are artists, maybe having a large following would be easier in a way. I'm not sure. Like...
That was
Is that too much, or...
No, it's fine.
Yeah,
It was dark.
Sorry, guys, I just turned the light on. And then there was light. Yeah, I think for me, the one that affects me the most is comparison, like...
Mm-hmm.
And less about the quality of the work sometimes, but just the amount of it. And not to say that people who post often are thinking about quantity over quality, because there are people who post a lot and it's amazing stuff all the time. But when I see amazing stuff all the time, I'm like, why am I not doing amazing stuff all the time? Why am I not posting all the time? So maybe it is like those two are related in that they cause anxiety about not posting regularly. And then that relating back to, well, I don't feel like I have enough stuff to post that's good enough to post regularly.
Yeah. For me, I don't use social media as an art platform.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have, like, a random-ass art Instagram, but I don't really use it. I haven't updated it in, like, what, 3 years? maybe 4, I don't know when. And I post some of my artwork every now and then, but I just, I don't know, I feel very apprehensive when I put my artwork up. And I think, in my mind, I'm like, what if someone steals my idea? Or like, but then I'm like, that's dumb. They can't, because... If they try and steal the image or something, I have the film. Like, there's no way. And trash is unique, so...
Yeah.
And I'm just not interested in having... I think it goes back to the whole living, breathing, and shitting art thing that we spoke about. I want a break from art sometimes. And if that means that even in social media, I don't look at it... Or I don't use it as my art, like, to promote my art, then that's better for me. Because all I do on Instagram is, like, look at stupid-ass cat memes and talk to my boyfriend sometimes. Or like
Only sometimes.
Sometimes. I know. I feel like he hates the memes I send him, so I'm like, okay, I'll stop. But I mean, it's, like, something else I connect with my brothers and sisters with. We send each other dumb things, and that's how I keep a conversation with them. I don't use it for art. I mean, I do follow art Instagrams and stuff, like The Tate, Who Makes, and other galleries, but I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I think for me, like, kind of like what Marissa said, like, I do find myself comparing to other people,
mm-hmm.
or not really so much, like, the style of their work, but the amount of work that they do,
yeah.
the shows that they're getting into... like, getting into residencies, like stuff like that, I'm like, oh, I really should be pushing myself. I should be working harder. And then I get like anxious, and then I'm too anxious to work.
Sometimes it can be really inspiring, and sometimes it can be a big motivator. Yeah. Like, I'm like, okay, like, I'm so excited to make this, and I can share this. But, yeah, most of the time it's just, like...
kind of negative.
Yeah. And not that it's a negative thing, but I turn it into a negative.
The times that it's been negative for me is, like, body stuff. Like, body image and stuff like that. Because I used to follow... like models, or like one model, she was beautiful. Well, she is beautiful.
She is.
But, and then I started seeing that I felt bad about myself, and whenever, because I followed this one account, a lot of my feed was like beauty.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, God, no. It was making me feel bad. So that, then I decided not to follow those things. And
that's a good idea.
Been cats
and like,
ever since.
You even said that you, recently like unfollow or did like a huge unfollowing spree, and I kind of want to do the same, but I follow so many people. I'm like, okay, I need to like unfollow some people, but I'm not like right now, I'm not really sure like what motivates me and what does
causes
me.
You stress.
Yeah, because I feel like sometimes it is the art that causes me stress more than like the other things, like the promotional or influencer, quote unquote, like persona. Like, I think I feel more anxiety when I see like the art thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I do enjoy looking at those things, and I love art and I love other people's art, especially when it's something that I like can't do or would never think of doing. Or isn't maybe not even, like, my style. Like, I still find, like, an appreciation. But at the same time, I struggle.
Yeah. I feel that.
I guess we could talk about how we personally view it, though. Like,
positive things we view stuff for?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just think it's another tool. And... you can use tools to your advantages if you know how to work them. Like, if you're trying to grow your name or your business, or, like, I have my personal account, and then I have an Instagram and a Twitter just for my art. And so if I'm trying to promote my art page or sell something, then it's, like, I need to know what times to post, who my audience is, what are people going to respond to, like... So if I'm not using the tool correctly for whatever goal I have, then it sucks. But if I put in the work and I'm using the tools, it's going to work. And you just have to learn how to utilize everything to perform for what you need it to. And everyone's goals might be different. Because like Sarah said, she doesn't use her art account. She's not trying to grow her name through that. She's just working on her stuff. She'll post when she wants. She shares her memes. And then like, that's it, and she's fine with that. And like, I have an art account, but I'm not necessarily promoting anything on it. I'll share work when I feel like sharing work, and when I need to sell prints to help make up money for something that's come up, like, then that's when I'll really push it. But I don't know, I just see it like a tool, and
that's all
you can
really
use it
is,
or you
yeah.
can leave it alone. And if you're using a tool for a wrong thing, like, it's not going to work. And if you use it right, it'll work.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. And I think also, like, having a balance. Because I know, personally, like, I use social media a lot. Like, as soon as I, like, wake up, I am, like, on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just giving myself, like, a break and, like, just having some alone time without it would help a lot, too. Like, with the balance of, like, what you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
how do you personally view it?
How I personally view it is exactly like how Marissa was saying, like, a tool, but also how we live our day-to-day lives. We always try to put our best face forward. And we are always very... carefully showing. Okay, that was a motorcycle. So we at least I'm always carefully deciding what people get to hear from me or say or what I say in my day-to-day life. And I think it's even more true for social media because I don't show the nitty-gritty. Like, I don't show the dirty dishes in my apartment or things like that. And it came to my attention, I think, like last or earlier this week, that one of my friends commented on one of my images where it's just like my dumbass plant and like just like of my apartment and saying, "Oh wow, you look like you have everything together." And in my brain, I'm like, "You, this picture does not show that I just had only $20 in my bank account earlier this week. It doesn't show the struggle. It doesn't show that I'm still struggling. That, okay, yeah, I have a plant, but I mean, like, it, these pictures that I see on social media, I'm conscious that they're very tailored, and mm-hmm. people decide what to show. So even, and sometimes I do feel guilty when I only show good things, because then I'm like, well, am I part of the problem? Am I perpetuating this? And so I haven't been posting any more pictures of, like, my beautiful plants. Actually, no, there's one that's dying. I don't know what's going on with it. I'll put a picture of that one. Tell me what's wrong. But yeah, so the way I see social media is just a way for someone to not really deceive, but to give you a tailored image of what you want them to think, what you want people to think of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I complain, like, I won't post any of the hardships in my life, like, on my, like, concrete feed, but in my stories, I'm always like, this horrible thing happened to me, I feel like giving up, I want to drop out,
there's a spider.
Every time I go and visit my cousins in San Diego, and they're like, "Oh, how you been?" And I'll be like, "Oh, well, you know, not too great." And they're like, "Yeah, I actually saw on your Twitter," or, "Oh, I saw your Instagram story, I know." I'm like,
I know about it.
I'm like, do I really complain that? Like, am I really, like, I really use, like, my personal Twitter as, like, a diary of rants, and, like, my Instagram stories, like, I guess because it's so, like, in the moment, like, when I was in school, I was sharing, like, this is hard, this sucks, I'm miserable, and then when it would be better, like, good critique, but the only thing that I post is, like, a nice picture, something new that's happening, but, yeah, like, uh-huh. I can't see where the majority of everyone...
Yeah.
You post the best of the best. Mm-hmm.
You know what? And I see this... I'm interrupting.
She also mentioned this in her thing, like, about, like, post-grad and, like, seeing, like, everyone post and, like...
Oh, and traveling.
Yeah,
and, like
mm-hmm. in reality... And she was doing the same thing, posting all the time, like, everything that she's working on, but in reality, she was dealing with a lot of stuff on the sidelines and in the background, and you're never gonna post those things online.
Yeah,
I feel that, except, like, I feel like when I'm going through something, like, it's definitely, like, a lack of posting.
Yeah,
and
that's true, too.
So, like, especially lately, like, I think I used to post, like, on my stories, like, every day. Like, at least, like, one thing. Or, like, a beautiful, like, picture of, like, breakfast or something. Like, an aesthetic photo.
So,
like,
good.
And, like, I just, like, that those things, like, those little small things do, like, give me joy and, like, presentation and stuff. But lately, I've just been kind of down. I'm not sure with social media. I haven't, like, posted even, like, on my personal page. And normally I post, like, a lot on that. And I don't know. I'm not sure, like, if I'm just, like, having negative feelings towards it or... what it is, like, maybe I don't feel like it's as important to show people those things. I'm going through it with social
media.
It's
okay, girl. You're going to get through it.
Yeah. But?
So do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing? Because it feels like a bad thing, but because we're all kind of just, like...
But we still use it.
In those places. Yeah, but we still use it.
I mean, it's both, and how we were... talking over and over about it again. It is a tool, and it's a good thing to get into contact with people. It's a good thing because you can let people know what you're up to and what you're doing and to come see and support you. And you can find out about things. And if you use it bad, or if you don't use it to your advantage, then, I mean,
Also, I feel like it's a little bit easier to contact people, like, on social media.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to post, like, a picture and I said, I really like this drawing, or, like, you're doing a great job, like, I've been following you.
Mm-hmm.
And then for them to respond, and then you guys start a conversation, and then maybe that can lead to something else, like a friendship, or...
Friendship.
Yeah, a friendship or a collab. So... I feel like, but if you were to maybe see that person in person, like, you would be a little bit more shy to go up to them.
Yeah.
And say, like, oh, I love your work.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Am I fanning you, or?
No, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Both of y'all are good.
I didn't know if you were.
Am I fanning you, too?
Yeah, you're fanning me.
I'm fanning everyone.
Well, what do you think as well? Like, what do you think it's good or bad?
I think it's a good thing. Like, I think for the most part, people don't use it with malintentions, and, like, you're just trying to post your stuff, keep up with everything, see interesting work, but I do think it's important to still go out and experience, if possible, physical environments where art, well, specifically, like, social media for art accounts or, like, viewing art, like, it's still important to go see it where it's at, if possible. Like, go to your local museum, your art museums, your cafes, or just, like, wherever people are hosting art. Like, just seeing it in person can also be so different from seeing it online, because you really get to experience the piece, the size, the medium, versus, like, viewing it on your screen where you're gonna see it for a second and then move past it. So I think it's good. I think it can be bad. But I think it's just still important, regardless how you use it, to go and view the physical work when you can. I can't, like, I understand, like, not everyone lives next to a big museum. We certainly don't. We just have our local museums. But we try to be as active and seek out what's on display.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's at, like I said, a coffee shop or a restaurant. Like, I know Joe Vinny and Bronson's, they rotate people's art out, and I don't always love all of it, but it's still good to see that there's
also
people that are working on stuff, and, like, I don't know their name, so it's like, okay, like, people are still working even when they're not in school, or this is just, like, something that they are passionate about on the side, or whatever it is, like, it's just good to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you guys have any positive or negative experiences you've had with social media? We kind of spoke about them earlier.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like we've mentioned, with social media, oh god, social media, with social media, I've been able to show my progress in my work where it may not have been able to be viewed at all. Like, my cousins or my family that doesn't live here, like, they're able to see my progress, like, on Instagram or Twitter, or when I was working on a website, like, they can see it and have more access to it. And not only that, but it's given me a visual record of where I've been and where I'm at. And I've also, like, I'll scroll through my art account every now and then and see, like, what was my first post and what was the work then and how have my ideas and concepts changed and what did I do during those periods to change that or what was going through my mind, because I write captions and it might involve the title, the medium, or what I was thinking about. And I think it's also healthy to see that change, whether you think you've gotten better or worse, because you're just going to get more ideas or you're going to see more room for improvement that you can change in your work. So I really enjoyed that. And I've also met and connected with a lot of really great people who I still have never met in person or have only met once or twice, who are super supportive. Like, and I kind of talked to y'all about this last week, but we didn't get a chance to record this episode, but, like, with tattooing, I started posting, like, some of the work that I was practicing, like, the first tattoos I was doing on actual people, actual skin, and I was really proud to share that stuff. But even though I had, like, a lot of good responses online or friends who are really supportive, the industry is not always like that, like, on the background. And not that the shops that I've been at aren't good shops or that they're terrible people, but there is a sort of there is a lot of times a boys club mentality in shops, and a lot of the industry is very old school, which I can appreciate. There's a lot of secrets, there's a lot of, like, learning through the underground, starting from the bottom and like working your way up. I understand and appreciate and love that. What I don't like is the way different groups of people are treated, usually minority groups, women, LGBTQ. It's a little bit harder than anyone else. And so on the back end, I was feeling like I wasn't moving fast enough. I wasn't being, like, my work wasn't really looked at the shop, and no one really cared what I was doing. And when I started posting on Instagram, there were male artists from other shops, other states, who were messaging me like, hey, like, you're doing good work, keep going, keep at it. And even having like that encouragement online from people I didn't know, who are already in the field, who know what it's like to be in that field, and who were coming from, like, you know, just like a man to a woman, and being supportive of that. Because, like I said, in that industry, it's not always that case. And I know I've heard a lot of stories of women artists in the tattoo industry who deal with a lot of sexism, who deal with a lot of harassment, even within their own shops. And so when you're, I don't know, like, I don't want to make it like a men and a women thing, and I don't want to like be excluding any other gender or, but there is like a sexism in it. And so when I had male support, it made me feel better, not because I was relying on the male opinion, but because when you're in a male-dominated industry and your shop is all male and there is a boys' club mentality and you feel like you're not moving far enough or you're not getting recognized enough, it was nice to make those connections. And then those are people who are going to trust you to tattoo them later, or you can get tattooed from. And so I really enjoyed building those sorts of connections online from people I would have otherwise never met or probably talked to in real life.
But also, I think, like, you shared on your, I think it was, like, your personal Instagram, how I think you were saying, like, oh, have you ever felt uncomfortable when you go, like, when you were going to a shop or house?
Yeah.
And a lot of people responded.
Yeah.
So it's, like, you're connecting with them, and you guys are, like, finding a common ground, or you guys have shared the same experiences. But maybe you wouldn't have been able to talk to them, or maybe you wouldn't have known that
yeah.
other people felt that way, because you asked on your Instagram story, has anybody ever felt this way? And a lot of people responded.
Yeah. And that's also been a real positive thing that I've experienced through Instagram and through Twitter, is that you can create polls and questions or just posts, and everyone's invited in the conversation. And there were people who responded who said, like, I like the way things are. You know, there's tradition for reason. There were some people who said some traditions are stupid. They need to challenge, like, and be more progressive. There were people who were like, I've had nothing but good experiences. There were people who said that their experience was fine, but it was just the artist who didn't understand their work or what they wanted. So it was, yeah, like, I love that, like, how there's just so much discussion and people are able to share those experiences, and they're going to be so far from, I mean, some of them might be so relatable, some of them are going to be so different, and that's great. Like, not everyone's going to be the same, and
yeah.
I love that about social media. Some negatives for me, though. It's a distraction. It really can be, like, I spend more time viewing than creating a lot of the time. That's mostly, like, I need to work on my discipline, and I think I also really worry about people's perception of me and my work, and, like, another thing that I think is difficult with social media in terms of art, like sharing your art, is that because you're not in like a person-to-person type of setting, and there's no, I mean, people comment. Like, when you post a picture of your art, it's different than posting a question on stories where you're inviting people to talk about it and people are sharing those kind of discussion results. I feel like when I post a picture of my art, I'm not able to really explain what my ideas, my intentions, my materials, why this is valuable to me. You can, like, you can write all of that in your caption, but I don't think people really read them.
Yeah, like,
people don't care about it.
Like, percentage of people reading versus not.
Yeah, and I don't think people always have to know your concept or ideas, but I think sometimes I feel like people won't value my work if they don't know where it's coming from, which is not true. Well, I mean, it can be. The thing is, I don't know, you know, like, and so I worry about that a lot, like, people's perception of my work, what does better than another piece, and why, like, why did this piece that I spent so much time on and has so much intent and meaning not get as much as a response as a really easy tattoo of a flower, you know? And it's just, like, the audience, and it's just our education, and it's just, you know, just having an understanding of looking at, examining, and talking about art. So I get it, like, but at the same time, like, those are things that I think about, and that put me in a negative mind space.
Yeah. I think, like...
Sorry, I talked a lot.
It's fine, they need to hear. Like, I don't know, like, it's positive because I definitely have felt, like, a connection with some people, like you said, like, people reaching out to you. Like, the more, like, personal things, I feel like I mentioned earlier, it's easier to talk to people maybe online or be more open than maybe you would, like, in person. And those are, like, my more, like, positive experiences. And I think the negative is only negative because I'm making it negative for myself. Not so much anybody making me having a negative experience with social media, especially, like, Instagram. Because, like, I'm the one judging my work the most. I'm the one thinking, like, oh, maybe they won't perceive this nicely. Or, like, I'm just putting my best foot forward. And I think the hardest thing for me is to be personal with people on social media. Like, I'm very private, I guess. Like, I don't really want people to know that much about me on social media. And I don't know why, like, I feel that way. I don't know why it's hard for me to, like, connect with people or invite people to talk or things like that. Like, that is probably, like, the... But I know, like, those things will help you, like, grow your audience or help you... have more relationships or friendships, but that's the thing I guess I struggle with the most is, like, inviting people to have a conversation, have a seat at the table. But I think that's it. Yeah.
I mean, experiences that I've had with social media are very, like, minimal because, again, I only use it to communicate with loved ones, and the times that I do use it for art, am I saying that right?
Yeah,
art. I had a little accent moment. Just to promote when I have a show or when I'm in a show or... really, I don't... And I'm just hoping that the few people that follow me share it with the people that follow them and word gets around. I mean, that's pretty much the only experience I've had. And I mean, I've had people contact me. This is like early social media when I was on Instagram. And they'd be like, oh, can you design a tattoo for me? But like those random, like, I don't do tattoos. I just draw and then they wanted like a wolf with feathers. I was like, no, dude. I think that's also why I don't post that. I think it just goes back to all of that in my growing up years. I'm still growing up, but I'm still growing.
Adolescence.
Even then, like just like elementary school years where I would
draw.
People
go up to you. Can you draw me?
Yeah, and I found that so annoying. Or when people would ask me to draw something for them for like something that they had to turn in, like. Draw yourself. It's just a circle and a few lines.
Yeah.
Like, geez.
And sometimes you feel bad saying no. Like, it's like an uncomfortable thing. I feel bad saying no. Like, people message me and they're like, sometimes I'll ignore it. I'm just like, no. Like, how do I tell you no? Like,
I don't know. No, I never felt bad. And I think that's also, that streams into why I don't really show anything of what I do because I just don't. Want y'all to care. I don't know. I don't want anyone... Maybe that's bad on me. Maybe I should be getting more critiques. I don't know.
No.
I'll analyze it a little more, but don't come at me with some wolf drawings you want with feathers.
I don't know. For me, I feel like I care too much. Like, I care too much about what people think of my work. Or they... Maybe they'll think, like, I'm not good enough. Like, I'm not a good enough artist.
Oh, yeah.
And, I especially feel that way with, like, painting. Because for me, drawing is, like, a release. And, like, whatever I draw, I just post. And I'm like, this is just something I drew in my sketchbook. So it's, like, fun or funny or just, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, like, my paintings, I get, like, really nervous. Because I'm like, this is not exactly how I wanted it to turn out. Because I'm still, like, for me, I'm still growing in painting. And I'm not going to say, like, oh, I'm a master painter, because I'm not. So it's, like, I just feel like people would view my work the way I'm, like, judging myself. And I know that's not true. I know that's not true. Like, maybe one person would do that. But I know the majority of people are not going to Instagram to criticize other people. Well, actually, I don't know.
Yeah, there's one of everything. I'm thinking now, like, also why I don't post my work. And it's because I've convinced myself that no one likes it. You make a little face at me. But it's I mean, and I don't have a problem with that, because I do know the culture that's around here in El Paso, where it's very iconographic work that does the best, and mine is the complete antithesis of iconographic work, and I'm okay with people not responding to it. I even look forward to it, because then they ask me questions about what it is, and it makes me think more and more about why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I'm comfortable with people not liking my work or not responding to my work, bothers me. But not liking my work, I don't really care. Unless you're my professor, then I'll be like, oh, okay. But yeah, so I don't even bother posting my work, because I already know you're not gonna like it. So I don't. That's probably bad too. Jeez, who am I?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Like,
yeah, that's weird. I just stay away from social media. Do you guys have any advice?
Yeah, one of the questions we asked ourselves was, like, do you have any advice with growing your social media? But I feel like none of us really do. Like, this is something I am still working on and need to be more consistent with. I think being genuine and honest is a big part of it. And also sharing people's work you support to create a sense of community. But, like, I don't have actual tips on how to grow your numbers and how to get more views or likes or anything like that. I think Miriam's, like, more creative with her Instagram and, like, what she posts. Like, she'll change it up a lot. Like, I love whenever you post videos, and because it shows me that you're putting in effort, and the videos are kind of like sneak peeks into your life, like your studio space,
mm-hmm.
and like what you're
that.
Drinking
you.
Or like what you're looking
at,
you know?
Yeah, like, I don't know, I guess, like, I just get bored easily, and so, like, those things are, like, exciting to me, like, because, I mean, I watch, like, a lot of YouTube videos, so I'm like, oh, whenever I see something, I'm like, oh, I could do that, or I would like to do that, or I'd like to try that, so, like, I feel like that's, like, a way of me releasing myself, I guess, like, practicing stuff, like, and I like looking at them, too, like, I like to rewatch them again, over and over, but honestly, I feel like people don't really respond to the videos.
I love
like,
videos.
Actually, like, it's kind of hard to tell, because, like, when it shows
it shows you views, not likes.
It shows you both.
Oh.
But I feel like, for me, like, the likes are always less than, like, the amount of views.
Well,
because, like,
the video loops. So, like,
yeah.
I'll watch it 3 times without realizing that I've watched it 3 times. But I watch your videos a lot. But
I can only
like it once.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
So,
I don't know. Like, but, like, compared to, this is something that's always, like, made me mad, that, like, my selfies get, like, way more likes
than
my art, and I'm just like, y'all, please like my art more,
yeah.
Like, I want you to like my art more than you like my selfie, or like my video, and I really do put, like, a lot of work into them, and I think, like, it is fun for me, and it's, like, a creative outlet for me. So I want people to like them. I just feel like people don't like them or respond to them.
They don't know what they need.
Do you have any tips, Sarah?
I mean, I
don't post. I don't like to post.
Yeah, do you have any tips?
Sure. Do I have anything to share? No, but...
No.
Not really. I don't even know how I have followers. I mean, they're all people that I know, so get the people that you know directly to follow you. I guess.
I mean, I hope she doesn't mind that I'm sharing this, but a former peer of mine, Danny, she's really, really active with her social media accounts, and we're hoping to have her on for like a interview sort of thing about digital art and
illustration
and like about her work, but also if she can educate us a little bit more about that topic so that we can also educate everyone else out there and make people more aware of that field and everything that it encompasses. But she's always posting about her experiences on Facebook, and I always love reading them because she has like so many good experiences and interactions, and then there's a lot of bad stuff, and she's very candid with what she's feeling. But she was recently writing about how she's working right now to grow her Twitter following. And how she had jumped from like 260 something, or I don't remember the exact number that she grew in like a short period of time, but her goal was 300. And someone asked her underneath, like, well, if you don't mind, like, what are you doing that's like making people follow you, or like, do you have any tips that you'll share? And her response was, be interactive with your followers. Make friends. I find other artists and comment on their posts. I like and retweet their art. And I also make gifts for those friends after a while. Then usually my art will get retweeted by them, and they usually have larger followings, and giveaways are a big thing. She wrote that she has one right now where the rules are to retweet, follow, like, and comment. And so she'll get the reach and the algorithm noticing her through those steps. And she did meet her 300. Like, literally, like, I saw the post, and then not even by the end of the week, she had grown to that goal number. So I think she seems to know what she's doing, and she's very active.
Yeah,
like,
she's
posting
active.
Regularly. She did have her giveaway. I think that's a big thing. Like, and like I mentioned earlier, when you share other people's art, maybe not even for them to share yours back or anything like that, but people are seeing that you're more involved and you're wanting to, because you genuinely like their work, you're just happy to share it and show your following. And then if people follow from there, like, that's a plus. But I just think, like, when people are supportive of your art, and even if they can't buy it, they're sharing it, that's like a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really appreciated thing in the field.
Yeah. Thanks, Danny, for the tips.
Yeah, I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that we shared that. Like, it wasn't a secret
thing. But those are,
thing.
Like, really good tips. And, like, that's something what we talked about earlier about, like, engagement and, like, being able to talk to people that maybe you would have never talked to because they don't live directly, like, or are accessible to you. So that's, like, a really great thing. And also you find people who...
You might have, like, never seen before.
Yeah, and like the same things that you like as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when you posting and you like a similar type of art, it exposes you to more similar types of art, and you get to know people, like you said, that you've never seen before, but you can also reach out to them and gain, like, a friendship and have more friends.
Yeah, the only other thing that we wanted to share for you guys to consider if you're making art and sharing it is, like, if you're really concerned with art theft, things being reposted, is to create a watermark. But I'm not even really sure how effective those are nowadays, because I've been seeing so many posts recently of artists whose works are getting stolen and used, like, in app games or, like, and stickers and shirts, and then these other people are making a profit off of these designs without crediting or, like, anything. And a lot of it is, like, illustrative or digital work that has, like, the @ plus their account name, and they just, like, crop around it, or they'll just, like, redraw over it. So I really don't know how effective that is, and I don't know if there really is a way to prevent art theft, but definitely when you catch it and it happens, you can take legal action over it, because that's not fair to you. I mean, there are a lot of things where I don't I'm not worried about it so much for myself, and, like, if someone takes my work, I'm not, I don't know, personally, I don't think I'd make a big fuss unless, of course, they're, like, profiting off of it, but, like, I'm not worried, well, I don't know, I want to rephrase this, like, art theft is never okay, stealing people's work is never okay, and taking someone's work and calling it your own is obviously never right. But there are so many, I see, like, sometimes people attacking people for stealing work when, just because the work is, like, similar themes, and, like, nobody owns a particular theme or idea or concept, really. Like, Terry showed us work from an artist she had never seen, never met, from, like, across the world, and, like, if you put their works together, you would think it's from the same artist.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, we're not as original as we think we are, but obviously taking some, like, a screenshot of someone's work that they posted and then calling it your own is something completely different, and that's never acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And if it happens to you, you can, like I said, pursue legal action, and if you want to try to prevent that, you can try watermarks,
or lowering the resolution on
your,
especially if you have digital, because I feel like it's digital work that gets stolen the most.
Yeah.
So just when you post a photo, like, lowering the resolution, like, unfortunately it does take away from the photo, but if you have been a victim or, like, before, like, then I guess you do, you have to take some action towards that somehow. It's not fair, but
yeah, I don't know.
It's kind of hard. It's not, it's hard to prevent. Yeah.
Yeah, or be like me and don't post anything. But then you're, no one knows about you. Yeah.
So I think that's really all that we can share. I mean, if you guys have any tips that you're comfortable sharing, maybe you can DM us and say that we can share it, like, on our story for our followers. I know we're going to try to be better about posting on our Sundays at Sarah's account, trying to follow more artists and sharing more of their work so that you all can see new things that you might not have seen before. I know the stuff that I'm really interested in, like, people who post all the time, who are very genuine in themselves, maybe show a little bit more of themselves. Like, I'm always interested in what's going on behind the scenes. But yeah, like, I hope our experiences, you can relate to at least some of them. You take solace in some of them, and hopefully some of the advice, the little bit of advice that we were able to give, you can take something out of. And like I said, if you have anything that you want to share or tips and tricks that you don't mind sending out for everyone to know, please send them to us, because
yeah,
we'd like to know what to do.
I know.
And I know a lot of people would want to know how to grow
too,
or how to start. Yeah. But yeah, so that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Thank you for listening. We hope to have you on the next one. And if you haven't listened to our other episodes, they're all up. So
follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm like our biggest fan, guys. So I've listened to each episode more than a few times already. Yeah.
I have too. I like watch them. I mean, I watch them. I listen to them when I'm like, I want something to listen to.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'll listen to it.
I'll listen to like another podcast, like Art History Babes or And That's Why We Drink. And then I'm like, let me throw in one more of mine while I'm like doing grocery shopping or
mm-hmm.
driving. So, but yeah, we're really thankful to everyone who's listened, and we hope that you keep listening.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.